One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You are listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. Next to me, as always, Dave Callens.
Hello.
And on the soundboard, well, kind of, Robert Timothy.
Some sound issues today, but I'm still here.
Yeah, live in my garage. I am, of course, going to Vegas this evening. I'm just going to leave.
Making the overnight trip.
Making the overnight trip. I know how to do it with Vegas.
See, I did that once, and it didn't really work out.
What'd you do? I'll tell you what you did wrong.
I'm sure you will. You've got that town figured out. I talked to you about this.
Yeah.
You have like all the tricks, all the secrets. So here's what we did. We were going to go meet a friend of ours Monday. I worked on Sunday night. And so Casey was like, well, we'll just leave
your
after
ex-girlfriend.
Work. Yeah. We'll just leave after work. I was like, nah, I don't want to drive overnight, get there early in the morning, and then just sleep the whole day.
Sure.
No, let's just wait. We'll leave early in the morning, get a few hours of sleep, leave early in the morning, then we'll have the whole day ahead of us.
Yes.
She's like, okay. She agreed to that. But then I got home from work. She was still up. She's like, let's just leave now. I was like, ugh, all right. So we left about, no, we left at 1 in the morning. Got there around 5:30.
Sure. You know,
pretty standard drive for no traffic. Go to the hotel where we had already called and booked a room. They said we couldn't check in until noon. And we were tired and we just wanted to sleep a few hours. Had nothing really to do. So we said, hey, is there any way we can get in early? It turned out that early check-in cost more than an extra night of the room itself.
Wow. For 2 hours. For
wow.
Two extra
so,
hours.
Can I get one of those inflatable pool relaxing things?
We ended up just sleeping in the car for a few hours until we were allowed to check in.
Well, here's what you did wrong. Couple ways you get around that. Number one, you timed it wrong. You got to account for 5 hours. Here's what I did the first time. I nailed it.
Wait, timed it wrong as far as when I left, or what do you say when you timed it wrong?
When you left. Okay. So let me tell you what I did. So I was having my friend Joe Charles watch my house for me. And so Aaron and I came up with the plan. Okay, you go to bed. You, Aaron, go to bed early, 8 o'clock. Take a sleeping pill if you have to. NyQuil, something. And I will stay up with Joe drinking heavily and packing the car. So that is exactly what we did. The bags were already packed, so we loaded the car. We had many, many beers.
Potentially dangerous combination.
He's going for like a short time. I like how loading the car is a big deal, as if they're moving out of state.
Well, they're drunk, so
I'm going to have to carry 3.5 bags and a Slurpee all the way to the car.
Do you remember how many things they drunkenly packed by mistake that they then had to unpack? It took a while.
You don't bring your own roulette table. They have them there.
You're gonna want this kick drum for this drum set here. You never know, brother. So as we get done drinking the car, packing the car, then we just hang out drinking. And according to our plan, everything went off perfect. I woke up Aaron at 2 a.m. and said, all right, you drive. And she got in the car. I got in the passenger seat and passed out. Then when she was getting tired, she woke me up. But hours later, I had slept it off. I was refreshed.
You Ocean 11 this shit. Dude.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is a multi-person operation.
I woke up. We were almost to Vegas, and it was almost near check-in time. And then, anyway, always tell them you just got married, too. Well, they don't check. When you want to get the early check-in time or the free upgrade, by the way, we just got married. By the way, we've been dating a year at this point, so that was bullshit. Next thing, if you cannot work out the genius timing I had, wear your bathing suit under your clothes. When you get to the hotel, you tell them, where's the pool? They're going to let you go to the pool. They know
right.
You're staying there.
Right.
Side note, Shores wears his bathing suit under his clothes every single day of his life.
It's like the world's worst version of Superman. He just goes into a phone booth, rips his pants off, and he can swim. I'm drunken poolside man.
Well, I can wade. let's swim stuff. No, but they'll put your bags in like this little storage valet section right. of the hotel. You just say, okay, we're here early. Can we go to the pool? They'll totally let you. They know you're hotel guests. You go out there. You nap on a chaise lounge for about 3 to 4 hours. You wake up refreshed and your room's ready.
Wake up sunburnt like a lobster.
Have you never heard of an umbrella, Dave?
No, I don't want this to happen to you, but I think it would be funny if it's.
You want bad things to happen to me.
I do. When you're getting married in Vegas, when it actually happens,
yes.
You're going to mention it to every place.
And they're going
to
be like,
And they're going to want to check, and you're not going to have any proof. You're going to get shot down when you actually are getting married because you've used it so often in the past, it's going to catch up to you.
You're the boy who cried nuptials.
You're the boy who cried upgrade.
I think we're gonna. I think it's gonna be more along the lines of Aaron and I have stayed at every hotel in Vegas.
Right.
So by the time and used that little scam. So by the time we actually get married in October, it's like I know you.
Wait a second. Here's your solution, Ryan. You go. Listen. I mean, we got divorced and then remarried again. I'm sure you've come across this many times in your profession as a Vegas concierge.
Yeah.
No, Aaron. Well, they'll come up with a new plan where if the hotel casts doubt on it, Aaron will pull them aside and be like. He's got that head thing like the guy in Memento. He can't remember already married, so just play along.
We're not going to play along by giving you free shit.
He's got a tattoo across his chest that says free upgrade.
Ask for the concierge. She's going down my elbow.
Got no breakfast.
So scary thing happened to me this week. There was a brush fire, a big one right near my house. It was
get used to it, brother. This summer is brush fire season in San Diego.
Well, this one came dangerously close. I was on the freeway coming home. It was the afternoon. And I see just tall smokestacks going up.
He's like, suckers.
He's like, the elders have voted me out.
So I could tell it's right near my house, and everyone's slowing down because it's a sight, man. This was a huge fire happening in the hills next to my house. So I'm nervous just about that. Then I hear the sirens behind me on the freeway. I see them in my rear view. I'm like, oh, good. So as soon as I got across the freeway bridge, there's a huge shoulder and I pull over and I realize something. I'm the fucking only person who did. All of a sudden, I just got out and people were like, sucker! These fire trucks came right beside me. No one was getting out of their fucking way. Like, this is something I've seen. This is probably the worst incident of it. I've seen this a lot. People not getting out of the way for ambulances and fire trucks. And I see their face in their car. And so I was like, no. Why do I have to get? Why does he get to go in front of? No, I don't have to.
I've literally never seen that. I always see cars pull over.
I've seen it several times.
I have, and the ironic part is, you know who everybody gets out of the way of? Police officers. Because you see the bubblegum lights in your rearview mirror, and you think, I don't want to be pulled over. I'm going to get to the shoulder immediately.
You're thinking, I got a J in the ashtray.
I got multiple J's. You pull over immediately, right?
Yeah.
The person who probably needs to get by least. Is the police officer who's giving somebody a ticket 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Whereas the ambulance and fire are probably saving somebody's life or home.
Yeah, well, they're by definition saving someone's life. The ambulance or fire guys are not trying to get to the scene so they can fuck with someone and ruin their day.
Yeah.
No. There's no need for that. They are going to help someone 100% of the time. No, but I've seen it so much. And I think maybe it's because they don't have the power to arrest anyone, or at least they don't think so.
Yeah.
I've seen this smug face in the, can I look at these people? You gotta look at them. And they're always giving the look like, no, why? No.
Dude, I want to see a fire truck just barrel through cars at that point. Just like, hey.
Put a cow catcher on the front of that thing. Yeah. Just have them go through, knock them off to the side. You know what? Even better than a cow catcher, paint it like the front of that horrible Stephen King movie where the Mack truck is painted like the Joker.
I knew what movie you're talking about, but he threw me off and he said, horrible.
Tommyknockers.
Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive.
The Joker truck. I think that might get people out of the way, and if it didn't, it would at least cause some damage to the cars.
Anyway, I got put out. It was awesome. I watched it live on TV, even though it was happening right outside my window. I'm good for that. Oh, another thing. I was listening to my friend Ken Reed's podcast. Listeners might remember him. He was a guest on this show. His show is called TV's Guidance Counselor. And on that show, they talk about old TV a bunch. That's the premise of the show. He has a guest on. They go through an old TV guide episode. They talk about the synopsis.
You know what's funny is I kind of think nowadays, looking back, I think of old TV like old computers. The only thing valuable about it is nostalgia. There's no fucking quality. If you watch anything that was made in the 1980s or 90s, it's almost all crap. Same thing with computers. Maybe you have a weird thing with Oregon Trail, but it was a shitty game, objectively.
Yeah, you can't just go and play Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare and then go, I'm also in the mood for Oregon Trail.
Pong was real good. I got to get back to Pong.
This soldier has two MP5 machine guns, but they didn't get dysentery. Tell you that much right now. They never killed too much oxen and weighed the cart down.
Also, all the colors beyond green are just superfluous.
Really? I mean, come on. Well, how much is too much?
Right.
But anyway, I was going way back on Ken's podcast, listening to them talk about old shows, and they brought up a show that I forgot existed, but I definitely saw one, at least one episode of, and it was a show. Do you guys remember, of course, the hit TV show Baywatch?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know,
it was,
unfortunately, yeah.
The one that they're now making a movie out of.
Right, they're doing the thing where they make it silly, but you know,
yeah, like they did like with 21 Jump Street,
yeah, yeah, exactly. And Chips, you know, like, oh, I get it, yeah. So anyway,
you know what's great about Baywatch? I don't know if you guys know this, but for a while, it was like the number one TV show in the world.
People make fun of it, but it was huge.
It was gigantic, and it wasn't necessarily gigantic in the U.S. It was big enough, and everybody knew it. But in the world, it was literally number. It was like how the Ford Focus was the number one car in the world for a while. Right. Everybody's like, I don't know anyone who drives that car.
It's like a missionary is the number one position. Like,
yeah, right.
But it was
funny as they would show news stories of these like remote Indonesian villages where somebody would get on like a pedal bike and pedal to make electricity once a week in the village to turn so on the TV and watch Baywatch.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And that's like a legitimate story that actually happened all around the world. For whatever reason, everybody on Earth clung to this weird concept of America that was only brought to them by David Hasselhoff and Pamela Anderson.
Like, popularity does not equal something being good, though. Like, Big Bang Theory.
Right.
Like the number one show right now, and that's fucking horrible.
Perfect example.
Well, there was another show. It got a spinoff, by the way. Oh, it did. It starred the same character and actor, David Hasselhoff, and his character is Mitch. It was called Baywatch Nights. And what happened with Baywatch Nights is, in addition to patrolling the beaches all day as head lifeguard,
right,
Mitch, I guess you guys didn't know this, is also a paranormal investigator on the same beach he patrols. Because
fuck right off. That is not a thing.
It's like the ghost hunters of the 1990s.
It happens on the same beach where during the day, God, he saves people from drowning, maybe a shark attack or two.
Yeah.
But no, because apparently, again, you guys didn't know this, Malibu is a hotbed for paranormal activity in the PM.
Well, that beach was built on an ancient Indian burial ground, so.
Well, I
sort
I,
of, actually.
Maybe.
Was there a haunted shark at some point? Because I feel like that should happen.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I've got some stuff here about that show.
Considering it was the early 90s network TV, I bet you they had some fucking killer CGI.
Yeah. And now, again, they didn't just take a character that was popular like Pam Anderson and that little kid Hoagie and give him his own show. No. Baywatch was very much still on the air. Hasselhoff was very much still on it. But they just gave this an addition to it.
Can I ask you this? When does Mitch sleep?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
no time for sleep. He's like, Liza saves and ghosts to stop.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever just gone to the beach? Never mind being the head lifeguard on it and saving people on it. And then tried to go out to dinner that night. It's you can't keep your eyes open. The beach is an exhausting thing.
Oh, yeah, it's draining.
You're sun-soaked. Yeah,
it's draining.
Yeah, it's draining. And then he's going to go, hey, you know what? That video of him just going ballistic on a guacamole burger on the floor.
Yeah, where he's laying next to the bathtub.
I don't think that was a leaked private video. I think that was Master Thespian David Hasselhoff demonstrating what happens to a human being when you work 96-hour weeks as both head lifeguard, and a paranormal investigator. Anyway, I thought about this for the first time in forever, and what I have here in front of me, I've got some plot synopses from Baywatch Nights.
Ryan, before you start, can I ask you a question? Because it seems like you're kind of familiar with this show. In the original Baywatch, the intro was them doing a slow motion run into the sea.
I don't know anything about Baywatch Nights, if that's what you're
going to ask. I was going to ask if it was slow motion run through a graveyard.
Yeah. He's holding a tombstone instead of a buoy.
Yeah.
I'll be scared.
He's holding a Bible and a cross.
Well, you know what? As long as we don't know, let's just envision that that's true.
Mm. All right. I can't believe that Baywatch Law and Order before Law and Order did.
Yeah, no, they wanted to do that. You know what I found out in researching this is that the first season, I guess, was just a straightforward detective show that just took place at night. And then, like, ratings sucked. And so they're like...
Because obviously.
And they're like, well, X-Files is big right now. How about we make this show paranormal? Like, oh, so we start a new Baywatch spin-off? Like, no, just make it this one. He was fine, and season two was all scary ones. Okay.
Then a really popular show about a diner opened, so they opened Baywatch Mornings.
His catchphrase was, kiss my grits.
Kiss my buoy. All right. So the episode one here of the first of the scary ones, quote unquote. By the way, that's how you know you're gonna win horror movie trivia. Ask me questions about Baywatch Nights. Well, maybe not now. I'm becoming kind of an expert after looking into this. All right. First episode's called Terror of the Deep. Makes sense. Mitch and Griff investigate a sunken freighter that a woman claims was sunk by a New Guinea sea monster. Who is this woman? Why are you believing her?
Also, how is a New Guinea sea monster in Malibu? How does that...
Yeah, I was wondering about the geography of that.
Yeah, that's the problem here.
Immigration is what it all comes down to. We got to tighten our borders.
We all want tighter borders.
Build a seawall.
All right. And then the next one's called The Creature.
Well, wait, what happened with the boat? You're not going to tell us what happened?
No, these are just got to go look it up.
These are ridiculous. I'm like that shitty kid in grade school that did the booger board. He goes, and if you want to know how it ends, you got to read the book. And then winks at the teacher, and you just want to hit him in the stomach.
This episode is going to end with Shores hawking the DVD set from our new sponsor, Baywatch Nights.
Remember, to click the Amazon banner, a degenerate podcast, we get 10%.
This all stemmed from a poor garage sale purchase.
This is like when you watch, listen to radio and the shitty DJs are talking about a mattress as if it's a real thing. You know, they're just sponsors. That's what we're doing now.
Yeah, I like how like sometimes they'll switch sponsors. Like, you know, it's like, how many mattresses does this guy sleep on per night?
Also, buy gold.
All right, The Creature. Mitch and Griff and Ryan investigate. I superimpose myself into these.
Okay.
I guess there's a character named Ryan. Mitch, Griff, and Ryan investigate a series of murders committed by a half-human, half-fish woman intent on having a baby.
Oh, a mermaid. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a mermaid. Why did they just call it a mermaid?
It's not as scary.
I guess so.
You know what's funny about that is...
It's a mermaid. Was mermaid copyrighted?
Fish don't have sex. Fish like...
The band? They bang, dude.
Well, that's true. They fuck well.
Fuck band.
Fish, the females lay the eggs, and then the males come and inseminate it outside of their body.
You always got to bring science into the podcast.
Way to dork this up.
Yeah. Well,
because, think about it this way. If she's a half-fish woman, and she's looking to have a baby, basically she's just asking guys to come off and jack off onto her randomly throughout the day.
Hey, I'm down with that. I don't care if she is half-fish.
All right, let's try something.
No, you're not jerking off on a fish in my house, or me.
Basically, she's trying to get the treatment that Hannibal Lecter's cellmate gave to Clarice.
We're going to try something. Shores, tell us the title of the next episode. Me and Bobby will try to tell you what it was about.
Okay. Ooh, I like that.
Next one's called The Rig.
Ooh, a shark has been driving a semi up and down the beach, kidnapping homeless drifters.
Ooh, mine is somebody has rigged one of the lifeguard towers to explode with a ghost bomb.
Mitch and
I'm sorry, that's stupid. I can't let that slide. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Mitch and Ryan head to an oil rig where they encounter a gelatinous sea monster.
Homophobe.
Very sea monster driven plot points here.
All right, give us one more shot.
All right. Circle of Fear.
This goes back to the woman.
Yeah, Bobby and I are thinking the same thing about this one.
All right, one at a time, fellas.
The fish woman needs the baby.
Unfit for television. I'm sorry. TVMA.
Mitch and Ryan investigate reports of black arts being committed in the woods. Where are the woods
come from?
It's Malibu.
What the fuck?
The sea woods.
The black arts being committed in the woods. Blah, blah, blah. Next one's called The Cabin.
Ooh. Ooh. Nobody has a cabin on the beach, do they? Is that a thing?
A cottage.
Not there.
They're all very...
forests and cabins. This place is all over the board, man. I don't know what they're
doing. Let me just read you the cabin here. Mitch and Ryan enter a cabin that takes them back in time.
So before this show started, like, get me out of this contract.
Can I ask one question? Does Mitch ever talk about what happens in his night gig and his day job?
Right.
Does he get, hey, CJ, you'll never believe what happened last night. I went back in time.
Yeah.
I discovered time travel last night. There's a cabin.
Mitch, the time travel thing's interesting and all, but we have a rip current to worry about right now. Can you just please get on board with this?
Oh, God, this is ridiculous.
Knights to Dragon 1. Mitch and Ryan must play a computer game similar to Dungeons & Dragons to rescue a man and his daughter being held hostage by the Game Master. First of all...
What does that have to do with water?
I feel like gamers kidnap people all the time. You don't have to play their favorite video game. You just call the cops. Real cops, Mitch. Not beach ghost investigators.
See, this is why the show failed. They started to stray from the beach, which was their bread and butter. Now they're getting into cabins and gaming.
Yeah, that's why they failed.
And time travel.
This one's called The Mobius.
Oh, I got it.
It's about Moby's
Giant
Tour
White
Bus.
Whale has also rave DJ.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the Moby, actually.
God damn it.
An old school friend of Ryan's. So is it like an old school friend? Like, you know, he kicks an old school, or did they go to school together? I'm going to guess it's the latter.
I'm going to guess it's both, actually. Yeah.
An old school friend of Ryan's shows her and Mitch a laser that transports them to a parallel universe. So he's gone back. Now he's going sideways. Again, does he talk about this at the day gig?
Also, can you, is it like just a laser pointer? Is it like...
I know you didn't believe me about the...
So how many of these synopses are made up entirely by you?
No, none. These are all from the website.
Hey, can we talk about the fact that Ryan's a chick? All this time I've been picturing you, and this last one's
continue
like her.
Continue to do that.
All right. I'm picturing female Ryan Shores.
Mitch and Ryan investigate when a monster resembling a wolf...
Werewolf.
It's a werewolf! Why are they doing this? Again, was werewolf copyrighted? That's a werewolf.
No, it's a monster resembling a wolf.
Monster resembling a wolf. Attacks teenage runaways in an abandoned building about to be demolished. On the beach, too, by the way. It's also on the beach. Yeah. Oh, Bobby, the servant. A mummy comes to life. Bobby.
And surfs.
He's got to win the serving competition against Dracula, or they're going to close the resort.
Yeah. He's doing it on the coffin lid.
Oh, that's a good one. Dracula's on the coffin lid. Mummy's on the sarcophagus lid. Yep. Oh, that's perfect. Coffin-based humor. That's what you get here.
And the werewolf is surfing on Frankenstein.
I'm sorry, what?
Boom, nailed it. Sorry, a monster what? Resembling a wolf.
Right, that. Okay, that I am on
and
board
then the
with.
The half-fish, half-woman monster.
I would have never understood this were-something, whatever you said. A mummy comes to life and stalks the employees of a museum warehouse on the beach. There's a museum on the beach, Bobby.
No, a museum warehouse, by the way. Warehouse, the place with cheap real estate on the beaches of Malibu.
Yeah.
And high humidity where warehouses right. really last.
Good point, yes.
I like how they had to say mummy that came to life. Like, otherwise, you're just going to think it's a dead mummy just laying there that people are scared of.
This is terrifying. Better just walk out of this
better
room.
Walk away from this.
I'm just impressed they used the term mummy. I thought they were going to say a dead person wrapped in bandages who had been embalmed in ancient Egypt.
A mummified Egyptian emperor. Where is Frankenstein, by the way? Because they've had mummy.
They didn't make it to season three. I'm sure he was on his way.
A half bat, half person that feeds on blood.
I'm right now just going through all this. I am already questioning anybody I know who's, let's say, when was this on? When was it by Baywatch on? Like early 90s?
Yeah.
Right? So anybody I know who's like 25 who happens to be named Mitch is automatically suspect to me. I feel like there's a bunch of 25-year-old Indonesian kids named Mitch.
Here's one. Mitch and Ryan accidentally uncover two 900-year-old Vikings who go on a rampage in Los Angeles.
Jesus Christ. I don't even know where to start with that one. Accidentally uncover Vikings. Let's start with that.
900-year-old ones. They're still alive. So what? It's Encino Man, but not funny. It's called Encino Man, I think.
Where's the episode where they go to the motel owned by the Bates family where a psychotic individual tries to kill them?
And I'm sparing you guys a lot of episodes, but I want to do three more. Just three more. Okay. Come on now. This one's called Hot Winds, which also...
Did you say Hot Wings?
Hot Winds, which is a code word I give to Erin so she should clear off the couch just after a big... Hey, Hot Winds, oh, come on!
Santa Ana's coming your way.
Mitch and Ryan search for the source of a desert wind that's making people go insane.
What? Oh, that's just the Santa Ana's. I lose my fucking mind when it's Santa Ana's.
Well, you know...
I actually think that's the Mark Wahlberg movie, The Happening.
Well, you know what they say about desert winds. It's not the heat that makes you go insane. It's the humidity.
That's right.
This one's called The Vortex. Mitch and Ryan go through a vortex.
I hope that's the whole description.
And emerge 20 years in the future. They've gone back. They've gone sideways.
Oh,
they were just
in a coma.
Yeah, they just,
nothing.
Wait, if they went through a vortex, arrived in the future where they didn't want to be, couldn't they just go back and find that cabin to go back?
Cabin got demolished by the mummy.
Well, they had to make room for the warehouse.
Yeah.
And finally, this one's turned out to be their series finale. They probably thought they were coming back. The people had spoken, though.
They thought they were the next MASH at this point.
This one's called 1,000 Words. When Ryan disappears in a haunted restaurant, Mitch enlists the aid of a psychic to find her. That restaurant's going to get a terrible Yelp review.
Right.
They also have a B from the Food and Health.
Yeah. You know, it's good food, but it's fucking haunted.
I like the idea, too, of getting, like, lost or vanishing in a restaurant. It's like, Is he out by the tables? No. Is he in the kitchen? No. Then he isn't here. There's only two places.
Maybe it's like a Chuck E. Cheese. Maybe there's like other parts to be.
She's in the ball pit.
Dave Busters.
She's tired of like dealing with Hasselhoff and Hid.
Speaking of horrible things from the 90s, I hear our good buddy John Grooms actually got hurt by some horrible thing from the 90s.
The Groomsmeister, yes.
He himself horrible thing? No, he's a little bit older than that.
Here's the thing about my friend, our friend Grooms, the unofficial fourth degenerate. He has this weird hobby where he likes to go to estate sales. Not for the sales themselves, although if he sees something that he likes that's affordable, he'll grab it. But really what he likes to do is go into these dead people's houses and just try and piece together how they lived.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird, but the thing is, he does it like every weekend. And so finally, my curiosity got the best of me. I called him up. I'm like, yeah, take me with you. I want to see what the
noise is. He's invited me a couple times. I haven't been able to, but I've wanted to.
I'm like, I want to see what the
draw is.
Yeah, about this morbid fascination. So anyway, he's like, yeah, fuck yeah, come with me. I'm going to a mansion in the hills. I'm like, really?
This sounds like a setup.
Yeah.
So we go to La Jolla, which is the ritziest area of San Diego. And we go into the hills of La Jolla, which is the ritziest area of the ritziest area. And we go to this place that is this palatial estate. It is like a small hotel. And I developed a theory while I was there, too. I feel like the people who have the sickest pools never enjoy them. It's always like an old dude that I don't like picture like going cannonball and jumping in there. I feel like their pools are awesome. They belong in a hotel, but they're only like centerpieces for their faggy cocktail parties they have twice a year.
Yeah.
And while some professor of art goes, my few. So anyways, we go there. We're walking around. There's like priceless oil paintings. We're like misfits shirts, like totally sticking out like sore thumbs. So, anyway, finally we get lost in there, and I'm just, like, walking around, like, who fucking lived here?
Wait a second. Lost in a haunted mansion? This sounds like something for Mitch.
Baywatch Nights, yes! When Grooms gets lost in a haunted mansion at the beach...
We're gonna reboot the series.
Ryan enlists the help of a mummy to go find him. Bobby, we gotta go to the beach and find mummies later. Remind me.
That's not where they are.
Have you looked? Have you looked?
I'll have you know, I have proof right here there are.
Check the warehouse on the beach. There's four mummies.
And there's a fucking werewolf on the pier while we're at it.
I'm going to take a wild guess that everything ended up fine and nothing went wrong while you were wandering around this mansion.
Not so. So anyway, what happens is I can't find Groobs. Finally, he reappears and he's got this look of jubilation on his face. Like he just discovered a priceless treasure. He's like, come with me. And we go around the side, and we find a detached garage where, keep in mind, this estate sale is in a $22 million mansion, and they're trying to get rid of, like, $700 paintings and whatnot.
Groobs has found this detached garage. He's excited. He's like, dude, we can live here, and no one will know. We can be squatters on this palatial estate.
You're not wrong, but that's not what he's excited about. We found the garage that was just filled with shit that we could afford that they wouldn't even... I'm like, wow, cool. Like, some stuff we could actually afford.
Turns out it's their garbage room.
It really, they were treating us such. I went to their tool bench there, and I found stuff from my pegboard. You can see it right behind me. I can't find those at normal hardware stores. They're like, I don't know. Those aren't sold everywhere. And so I just start taking these rusty hooks off there. I'm like, I bet I can get these for $1. And I did. And then it occurred to me, I'm like... I just got into a huge fight with Erin because I accused her of being a hoarder. And now I'm going to go like, look at these rusty hooks. Can you believe I got all these rusty hooks for $1? So, and then John sees, I could see the golden light reflecting onto his face. He finds an office chair, an office chair, a rolly one. And it says $9. We talked them down to $2.
Wow.
So we're leaving there, and funny thing about the driveway, it had an electric gate that was not deployed, which has a lip for the track.
Yeah, the bottom for the track.
And so the chair hits the fucking gate track. John takes a tumble, falls down, starts holding his arm, and my first thought is like, yeah, all right, buddy? And then he gets up, and I can see it really hurt him in the fall. He turns and shows me his arm and goes, is it bad? All I see is fucking bone. It's not exposed. It's not exposed. It's not a compound fracture, but it's still attached, it looks like. But his elbow is jutting through the skin, where it might as well be an X-ray covered in a light skin trimming.
That's so gross.
So he goes,
is his arm now like a bag for his bone? Like it's not even holding any support or anything like that?
Right, exactly. And so he doesn't see it. And he shows it to me and goes, is it bad? And I know one thing about these types of situations, you do not want to panic them.
Yeah.
You know, because he might jerk his arm and make it worse. And so he goes, I looked at this fucking bone and almost threw up and went, no, it's not. We're going to go to the hospital now. and he goes, no, if it's not bad, like, I don't want to go to the hospital. That'll be expensive. I'm like, we're going to go to the hospital.
We can talk him down on the price, $92.
And that's when another dude walks up and goes, oh my God. I'm like, shut your fucking. He's like, oh my God, I think her elbow's dislocated. I'm like, he's like, what? He looks at it and goes, oh! So anyway.
Then he starts doing this sweet helicopter trick.
So I'm like, let's get in the car. He's like, can you drive? I'm like, yes, obviously I'm driving.
It's manual, so.
No, you drive. Why do I have to drive?
I've been drinking.
I'm not getting out of the way of any ambulances either. So we get in the, now on our way to the car, he goes, oh fuck, I'm losing my vision and I feel hot. I'm like, you're in minor shock.
He's
like, but I thought it wasn't bad. I'm like, I lied. And you're in minor shock. The good news is,
he hasn't discovered it at this point? I don't understand.
He has, but he's not all there because he's in minor shock. So he was like talking kind of scattered, like you would if you had a stroke almost, but not slurring.
He had a stroke and he fell.
So he starts like, he's like, I'm burning up, man. I'm like, just stay right there. I pull the car up, I get him in the car.
Please tell me you did not leave the chair behind.
Oh, no. I did think about it. Okay. And I was like, I'm like, it was $2. John, forget the chair. And all of a sudden I realized my Sunday's been ruined over this chair. If I leave this behind, it was all for nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
They only had to wait an extra 15 minutes to get all those hooks, too.
Oh, yeah. The hooks are coming with me regardless.
Yeah.
I can't just find those anywhere.
What else is going to hold his arm up in the car?
Suddenly John was holding the hooks when he fell and tripped over the chair, and all the hooks were pierced through his body in addition to the dislocated
elbow. Shit, you look like a Cenobite from Hellraiser. Cool. Take a picture of that for Instagram before we take those out. And one way he's like, can you put it back in? I'm like, no, are you fucking crazy? God. So anyways, we get him in the car, and he's like, he's still feeling hot and can't see. And I'm like, the good news is that shock is preventing you from feeling a lot of pain right now. And all of a sudden he goes... oh, fuck, I can see again. I'm not hot. I'm like, uh-oh. And all of a sudden I hear him go, oh, fuck. I'm like, yeah, shot's gone. So I take him to an urgent care. They deny him. They're like, oh, fuck, he needs to go to a hospital. To his credit, even as he was sitting there with bone jutting out where his elbow used to be, I was registering him. I knew most of the questions, like, you know, his real name, is, you know, and stuff. And all of a sudden they're like, religious preference. I'm like, shit, I know he's half Jewish, but I don't know if he wants to know his medical file. And so I'm like, John, religious preference. Here's his answer. Fuck. I can't think of anything funny right now.
Go groups.
True degenerate move. I think all of us would have done
that. Yeah, like, die. He was still looking for the laugh, and I had to respect that. The nurses did, too. We were all impressed. So I had to get him back in the car, and he's like, fuck. So we had to take him to another place. Now, we had to take him to a fucking hospital. Luckily, I know which one takes his insurance.
Wow.
So we get him to the emergency room, and here's the trick that I employed.
He told me he just got married. You take care of him right away.
They said, we can't take him. I'm like, is there a pool? Can we sit him next to a pool? Is there a Mai Tai we can have? Charge it to the eventual emergency room we'll be in. You go to an emergency room in the ritzy area of town. I'll tell you what, even if you're in the ghetto and get hurt, drive 20, 30 an hour to a ritzy part of town and go to that emergency room. It's not like a school district where they're like, no, that's not where you live. No, I don't know why. Yes, I do. Poor people.
Less gunshots.
Poor people always keep getting hurt, man. If you go to the ghetto, there's going to be knife wounds. There's going to be gunshots. Shit there never is in the ritzy part of town. Also, white people. Anyway, so We get him in there. He gets right in because we're in the good area. And then, they fixed him up. And he kept apologizing. They didn't say curse words.
Were you there when they put it back in place?
Oh, I was there the whole time.
He told me about this.
He dislocated the elbow, right?
Please tell the story.
No. He had to hold hands with him. The doctor had to put his elbow on top of his. They bent it back and you just heard...
Oh!
It's a big snap.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, I've had to get my shoulder put back in, and it's one of the most excruciating half seconds of your life. Like, it's so insanely painful in that blip of time.
Yeah, so he's fine. But the thing is, he was, we were worried that his girlfriend would be mad at, both of us. Yeah, I don't know why. We hearken back to kids when it comes to dealing with our girlfriends. You know, his girlfriend's not a mean lady. It's just, we're like, oh, fuck. I was thinking, one time my friend Alex broke his wrist when we were in fourth grade. We're like, we got to cover this up. We didn't do anything wrong. We're like, no, we're going to get grounded. So we hearken back to fourth grade.
It's an instinct that stays with you.
Yeah, it does. And so even if they're putting an L-shaped full cast on John's arm, we're like, we can still hide this from Tara.
Here's what I love turtlenecks.
I'm going to get you a big boombox. we're going to just say we found it at the estate sale. We can still hit a few more of those, right? We're not done today with the estate sales, are we?
What if you just are always flexing? What if...
Yeah. Oh, and I love my girlfriend's response. I was like, taking John to the emergency room. Talk in a minute. And then, when I finally got him checked into the hospital and checked my phone again... She was yelling at me for not responding to her right away. I'm like, I'm a little busy. I also forgot that John told me not to bring him up on the show anymore. So,
all right,
sorry.
Fair enough.
All right, anyway.
We'll fix it in post.
I gotta get to fucking Vegas. I'll see you guys when I get back. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby C, and see you next week, Cruising with the Twos.
Real cops, Mitch. Not beach ghost investigators.
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.
I'm Drunken Poolside Man.